Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in this world, because we are broadcasting live all over the world. Brandon Cunningham here for Hussar Real Estate. And hey, real estate's cool. At least I'd like to think it is. People talk about it all the time. I often joke with people to say that people talk more about real estate than they do about sex. Seriously, go to a party next time, see what they're talking about. It's wild. Couple of things are happening here. We're having a couple of sessions over the next few weeks where we'll be broadcasting not in our own home turf of 716 land, which is a beautiful place, one of my favorite places to live too. I've lived in a lot of places, but I like to call that place home probably more than any place. Go Bills. But we're actually broadcasting from somewhere between Rome and the tip of the Italian boot, in a wonderful little town called Sorrento. It's actually the ancestral hometown of one of my favorite agents that works for Hussar Real Estate, Joe Sorrentino. So I'm sending him pictures of his ancestral village even as we speak. You know, some of the things that's cool about real estate is some of the technological changes that have occurred. And I think they're cool when they work, and they're not so cool when they don't work. We've had a number of technological issues since we've arrived here in Rome the other day and in Italy. But hopefully we're working those out, and hopefully you can hear us, and we're having a grand time. If you want to call in and be a guest on our show, we can take your questions. We can have conversations. Just call in, area code 563-999-3066. That's 563-999-3066. Now, back to the cool things about real estate. I heard something, well, actually, I just heard this today, and I want to share this with you. I don't know if it's cool, it's not cool, but it's interesting. Weddings in Buffalo cost more than a down payment on a house. Well, let's think about that for a second. The Buffalo Cheektowaga metro area recently was reported by Smart Assets in their 2023 list of 10 places where it's actually more expensive to get married than to buy a home. And it came in at number 8. Now, this is the interesting part. Buffalo is one of the more affordable places in the United States to actually buy a house. But now that we're telling us that we're in an area where it's actually more expensive to get married than it is to buy a house, we go a little bit and they start to give us some statistical information. According to their research, the average cost of a wedding in Buffalo costs just over $32,000, $32,394.29 to be exact, while a 13% down payment on a house runs about $28,000, $27,938 on the average. So that means a Buffalo couple would spend almost 16%, 15.94% more for their wedding day than they would if they purchased a home instead. Now, one of my favorite classes in college, and it was actually one of the harder classes I ever had to take, was statistics. And from that, I can remember gleaning a quote from a person who you would never have guessed where this quote came from. The quote actually came from a science fiction writer by the name of H.G. Wells. And he said that there are three kinds of lies in this world. There's lies. There's damn lies, and those are probably the lies that we hear in politics all the time. And then there's statistics. Then there's statistics. Because here's the issue with statistics. Depending on the argument that you want to make, you can pretty much use statistics to back up your argument. You just have to know how to manipulate them and move them over here and move them over there, which is why one of the more important things I learned in statistics was, I'm not going to come back to this wedding thing, was that whenever you saw zeros, discount them immediately, because it means that they're rounding up or rounding down. And depending on the amount of the money, of the number, these can be sizable numbers.
I also saw a situation, and again, this does relate to real estate in the grand scheme of things. We're going to come back to the wedding issue. That Poland Cars was talking about the cost overruns that are projected on the Buffalo Bills stadium, which they're going to build without a dome. That's a whole other thing. Makes no sense to me, but whatever. I know people say, well, you don't really need, well, we want to play in the snow. Yeah, that's great. At any rate, they're talking about a cost overrun of $140 million. That's just the cost overrun. I will wager anyone that calls in tonight, in fact, I'll give you $100 on this one. Unfortunately, you won't be able to collect it until the thing is built. That number that they're giving you of $140 million will never be that number. You know it's going to be a bigger number. I lived in Boston years ago when they were doing what was at the time the most expensive public project in the history of the United States. And it was something they called the Big Dig. It goes under the St. Charles River, and it makes traffic much more efficient as it drives through this downtown section of Buffalo. Well, as it turns out, it came in almost 2.5 times more than that. Well, of course, it's government money. It's easy to spend other people's money, especially when you can just print more. Let's print some more money. I need another $100 million. Can you give me something? Yeah, we'll print you some more money. So at any rate, the Big Dig, which was the most expensive public works project at the time and probably one of the most corrupt, there were people that lived in Boston that refused to ever drive in the Big Dig because they said this thing is not safe because of the payoffs and the schmayoffs that they had on this thing. I can remember I was driving through the Big Dig. It was probably open about a month, and people were talking about, well, you know, it goes under the St. Charles River. I'm driving along under the St. Charles River, and there's water flowing. There's water flowing on the road that I'm driving. I said, this can't be good. This can't be a good thing. About 3 weeks later, some of the tiles fell down from the roof, and I think it killed two or three or several people, and there was a big stink about the thing. Listen, when government starts spending money, they don't always do a really good job on it, I have to tell you. Okay, but let's get back to the statistic about buying a house. Oh, wait, let me go back to about the zeros. $140 million, that's what it's been rounded off to. Okay, so let's just presume, just for the sake of argument, that the number was actually $139 million, $100,000. Or no, let's do it the right way. $140,500,000. We're going to round it up to 140. Well, we just lost $500,000. Where did it go? It just vaporized. We can't even track it anymore because you rounded up. That's the problem with statistics. Now, let's go back to the statistical information that they gave us with respect to getting married. $33,000 is the average cost of a wedding. The sort of tragedy that I find with that is, and I've been married a couple of times, so, I mean, I speak from some experience, and weddings are expensive. I get that. But I think the statistic is on the flip side of 50. In other words, more than half of the marriages don't work in America. They don't work. So we're spending a lot of money for a day rather than the entire journey. If people spent more time, you know, talking about their goals and their priorities before they got married, and they talked about, you know, the things that were important to a family unit as opposed to what kind of flowers they're going to have. And I love the flowers were absolutely incredible at my last wedding. But, you know, it's really not the place where you want to put your priorities. But I started to delve into these numbers a little bit here. $32,000 and change, while a 13% down payment on the house in the Buffalo Cheektowaga metro area is about 28,000, rounded off, 27,938. So I'll just throw $62 out the window. We don't know where that goes. Okay. So at 28,000, that represents a 13% down payment. But here's the issue. And then it goes on, by the way, he says that means a Buffalo couple could spend 15.9% more for their wedding. Okay, they're gonna spend more for their wedding than they would on their down payment. You know what? They're going to spend a lot more than they could for the down payment because the average person doesn't put down 13%, especially now when the interest rate, even though the interest rates are going up, the interest rates are still fairly low. They're below what used to be called the gold standard of 8.5. I mean, if people were at 8.5, they'd be jumping out of a window at this point. But more specifically, the average person spends somewhere between 5 and 10%. So let me use some easier numbers and say 10%. This gives me, if you rework the number with that 13% down payment, it comes out to a house for about $215,000. A 10% down payment would be $21,000. A 5% down payment would be $10,500. So if I use the 5% down payment at $10,500, your average cost of a wedding is over three times the price. $32,394 is three times the price of $10,500. That's if you're doing the 5% down. So this really becomes a question of where are your priorities? And now, you know what? A wedding is a wonderful thing. And there's a wonderful passage in the Bible that talks about a good wife is worth more than the pearl of great price or something like that. More than a precious jewel. And that's true. And the flip side is true for the husband as well. A good marriage partner is probably the best thing that you can do for a successful life, bar none. But going back to real estate, the argument that I would make here is, yeah, it's three times more to do a wedding than it is to buy a house, or at least to get into the game of buying the house. And financially, which is going to give you a better return? Everyone just expects real estate to go up. Everyone does in value over years. And you know what? It pretty much does. I mean, there's some pockets, you know, every once in a while you find something where it goes down. But eventually it does go back up. You just may not live through the eventuality. But having said that, we're looking at people today that are saying, well, you know, I really want to buy a house, but I think I'm going to wait for the prices to go down. You know what? You can wait, and you know, even if the prices go down, the interest rates are going to go up. If the interest rates go down, then the prices are going to go up. Chances are they're both going to go up, and here's why. We talked a little bit about this on our last session. You know, the government can manipulate the statistics and the talking points all they want. All you have to do is go to the store, and you can tell it's an inflationary economy. And there's it's a financial impossibility to not have inflation if you're going to print the money that they printed. That's how you create inflation. You have currency that's not backed by anything, so what do? You print more currency. I mean, can you imagine if, you know, you were trying to pay your rent and you said, listen, I'm a little short, and you went down to the basement and you printed some money up and you gave it to your landlord? I mean, you'd be in jail, and you should be. So with respect to the statistics that we're hearing, you know, the weddings cost more and the houses cost, it really does come down to a question of priorities. I was talking to one of the agents at Husfar Real Estate, Husfar as I know, and he was saying, you know what, a lot of people are going to kind of get left behind and not get a chance to actually buy a house because prices are going up, interest rates are going up, and inventory is still not growing. He says a lot of them are going to get left behind. And my argument back to him was, well, here's the deal. You're absolutely right. A lot of them will get behind. But you know what? This is not to denigrate anybody. The smart ones, the brave ones, will figure a way how to get in. They'll figure a way to do it. They'll pay more than they want to just to get in. They'll do what they need to do. And I gave the argument, and I've said this so many times that I'm starting to, you know, sound goofy about it. But you know what? When I bought my first house, I could have cried and say, oh, my God, I can't pay that interest rate at 14.5%. It was a gift at 14.5% because a month later it was at 18. And I was buying a house in New York City. So even though the prices were lower when I bought then, they were much higher there than they were in Buffalo. So Buffalo is still as good as it's going to get in terms of buying a house. So what I said to my colleague at Husfar Real Estate, Husfar as I know, was, you know what? The smart ones are going to get in. The brave ones are going to get in. They're going to figure a way to do it. And he said, you know what? He says, you know, you're absolutely right. And this is not about being right. This is about just think about it. What do you need to do to get what you want to get? And, you know, sometimes it means, well, you got to save more money. Sometimes it means you may have to take an extra job. Guess what? I've worked more than one job at a time, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there have worked more than one job at any given time. I saw something on Facebook the other day. Somebody was crying. They were working at Starbucks, and they were all agitated. They couldn't believe that they had to work a second 8-hour shift on the weekend. Cry me a river. I have no time, no patience for people like that. I mean, do you know what the people that came to this country had to do to get here? I'm in Italy, and I'm looking around. This is probably one of the most beautiful places in the known universe. And people left here. They left here so that they could get a piece of the American dream, and a piece of the American dream was represented by a terrible sea voyage. And they got to the United States. Most of them had to go through Ellis Island. Some of them had to be quarantined. When they finally got out, they didn't speak the language. They had probably, you know, they came with $2 or $3 in their pocket. They figured a way to do it. So, you know, I want to be compassionate, but at some point, you have to bite the bullet. At some point, you have to do what you need to do to grab your own piece of the American dream. And a little hard work, a little savviness isn't going to hurt you. I mean, I maybe that sounds like pontification, but when I look at these numbers, people want to spend more money on a wedding than they do on a down payment on a house. However you're going to inflate these numbers, that just doesn't make sense to me. I had she wasn't my godmother, but she was I take it back, she was my godmother. My godmother, Anna, she was a lovely, lovely lady. Let me tell you a story. When she got married, oh God, probably back in the 40s, she was one of 12 children, and she married a nice, well, she was Italian, and this is interesting, you know, it's Fair Housing Month right now, and I always think Fair Housing Month, you know, when the government tries to legislate morality, they usually run into problems. So we take special courses, and we're obligated to take special courses every 2.5 years, and we're specifically obligated to take special courses that have to do with fair housing. And you know what? I like to keep things relatively simple, but the easiest way to deal with fair housing is you just treat everybody the same. Everyone gets treated the same. Now, I know about prejudice and these things, and you know what? There's no place for it in fair housing or for getting a part of the American dream. But every group has a certain amount of prejudice to it within their own group. The Northern Italians look down on the Southern Italians. And if you are in Buffalo, I would say probably 80% of all of the people that claim to be Italian are in fact not Italian in their heritage. They're actually Sicilian. Now, we know that Sicily is a part of Italy, but it wasn't always a part of Italy. In fact, if you look at the history, there's something called the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. It was the island of Sicily, and then there was another section of Sicily that went all the way up pretty much to the south of Abruzzo, even with Rome. It's in the middle of the country. But the people that are on the island of Sicily, they think of themselves as being an absolutely separate group of people. And in fact, if you go to the Italian cultural center, the Culturale Centrale in Italia on Hurdle Avenue in Buffalo, they actually teach Italian. And they teach Italian to children, which is nice too. But they also teach Sicilian as a separate language. You know why? Because it is a separate language. It's not just a dialect. I mean, Italy has all kinds of dialects that they're trying to preserve right now, but they're having a problem because the language of commerce right now is English. So they're teaching mandatory, it's being taught in all of the schools. So they're trying to preserve their heritages, and they're trying to preserve their dialects. Back to my godmother. She married a Sicilian. She was what they called basically descended from Naples, Napolitana. And there was some tension between the two groups. Well, they were so petrified of what their parents would say that they eloped. Okay, well, that was not unheard of. And they saved a lot of money by eloping. They didn't cost them $32,000. In fact, it probably cost them the cost of the license. Now the rest of the story. They were so afraid of what their parents would say after they got married They went home to their respective houses. And finally, and they were the most adorable couple in the world. I love them well, I shouldn't say to death because they're obviously gone now. But they went home, and they went home, and they stayed home, and they would visit each other every once in a while. But they never actually, how should I say, had the ultimate conjugal visit until about a month later when my Uncle Nick said, wait a minute, I'm talking to my friends here, and they say, what are you doing? You got married? How come I'm not understanding this. So they finally got together, and they did what they needed to do, and they had a few of my cousins. But the odd thing was what people did and what they had to do to come to this country is just extraordinary. So, you know what? It's all a question of priorities. It's all a question of what you want to do with your money. And I think, and a lot of people think, the smartest and best thing that you can ever do is to buy a house. And if you're not, I had a conversation with one of my competitors, Vito Piccone, nice, another Italian boy. He corrected me. He says, no, I'm just saying. They always correct you on that, which I always think is interesting. I'm Sicilian, and I really like to speak the language and all this kind of stuff. But we were talking about the real estate market, and he said, you know what? It's just wild out there. Here's the mystery. He said, I just don't know why people aren't lined up around our offices. And I said, Vito, I've said the same thing for the last 5 years. I said, with the interest rates being 2% and 3% and crazy numbers, but even 5-6%, these are crazy numbers. And by the way, those interest rates were so low. That's why there's no inventory. And the reason why there's no inventory is because either people bought it up or the people that already did own it, they refinanced. And once you refinance it in an effort to get back your closing costs and your soft costs on the refinance, it takes you 4 to 5 years. Because you basically bought your house back. So you're competing with the owner because he bought his house back. But he says, yeah, we should have lines of people around our block because it can't stay like this forever. And especially with inflation. I talked a little bit about this on our last session. When inflation was at its peak back in the early 80s, when I bought my first house, I paid more than I wanted. I paid a higher interest rate money, and I still made money because once you owned it, you could ride the wave up just like everybody else. That was the key. In an inflationary economy, as I said in the last session, you need to have hard assets. You can have platinum. You can have gold. Those are hard assets. The problem is with real estate, you can live in real estate. You can rent real estate. It's income producing. It appreciates. You can leverage it rather than putting 100% down. You can put 5% down. Actually, with FHA mortgages, you can put 3.5% down. I mean, think about that. So for $100,000, I put $3,500 down, and they'll let me buy a house. There's some closing costs on there, and now I'm talking about 10% of that wedding investment, $32,000. So it's a question of priorities. So if you're thinking of getting married, you may want to talk to people and say, listen, I'm thinking of getting married. I'm thinking of doing this. I'm thinking of doing this. And a smart real estate agent may say, you know what? You should get married. That's a lovely thing to do. But understand these numbers. If this wedding's going to cost you more than this, you might want to think about this. You might want to think about this. Because oddly enough, I was looking, and rents, by the way, are going up faster than the prices of houses. And the prices of houses are still going up. It used to be historically in the Buffalo market, you know, they didn't talk about return on investment. If you paid 100, you just wanted to get your 100 back. And that's what they call return investment. It's a little different. And, you know, there was some appreciation and, you know, and magic gold standard for years and years and years. If you got 3%, big deal. That's what you got. So you paid 100 and the next year it was worth 103 so based on that, if you paid 100 and it went up 3% the first year and now it's worth 103, if you sold it for 103, you lost money because you couldn't make up your closing costs. But now you're seeing double-digit appreciation and double-digit appreciation over several years. I mean, I bought a house 10 years ago, it's quadrupled in value. It's quadrupled in value. But the rents are going up faster than the price of houses. You know, I can remember not too long ago, if you were quoting $1,000 a month for rent, that was a lot of money. It was very, I mean, you could easily find places all around town for much less than that. Now, pretty much anywhere in the city of Buffalo, you're going to be looking at a grand. Pretty much. Maybe nine if you can find something with a bargain. But there's not too many two-bedroom apartments out there that you're going to get for less than $1,000. Really. I mean, that's reality. And that part's only cool if you own the building. So as I tell people all the time, if you're renting, you know, I understand. But understand that is a short-term housing strategy. If you're doing it long-term, and the tragic part of the strategy is New York City, which essentially runs all of the politics in New York State. And, you know, I'm not talking left-wing, right-wing. That's just a fact. I mean, anyone will tell you that. It's a Democratic-run state, top through bottom. But most of the votes come from Manhattan and the Bronx. Kathy Hochul, that's how she got elected. It's basically from the voters in the Bronx and Manhattan. And they're nice people. I love Manhattan. I'm a native New Yorker. But because of how the cost of real estate has, I can't even say increased. It's beyond whatever increased is, mega creased. Those people are stuck. They're stuck in the rent trap. I think fewer than 20% of the people down there can actually own. It's and what are you doing? I mean, I can remember when I was trying to rent an apartment in downtown Brooklyn at $450 a month for a floor through apartment. That same apartment is now $4,500. It's 800 square feet. And you know what? They can get that all day long. If you're paying $4,500 a month, I mean, first of all, you better be a serious white-collar guy working on Wall Street. And, you're spending 50 grand a year, man. That's crazy. And what's even crazier is one of the cool things we talked about in the show when we started out was the technology. There's so many opportunities now where, and COVID's actually helped us. There's so many opportunities where you can get what they call a cocoon job, where you can work remotely. Husfar Real Estate actually did very, very well during COVID because most of the technology that they use allows so many of their agents and their personnel to work remotely. I mean, I'm working tonight. I'm in a different hemisphere. And that's kind of cool. And I'm thinking one of the things that's going to help fuel the biggest part of the resurgence in Buffalo are all the people that figure out eventually that are in New York City or Chicago or Pittsburgh or any of these major surrounding cities. They're going to figure out, you know what? We can go up to Buffalo and buy something, and it's really affordable. If I'm paying $300,000, it's a gift. That may sound expensive to a lot of people, but for somebody that's coming from New York City, it sounds like you're literally giving it away. So that's kind of our sermonette for tonight. No one called in. No one likes us. But pretty soon, they'll get the idea that we're talking about some cool things here. And listen, look at the numbers if you're getting married. Look at the amount of money you're going to spend on your wedding versus what you should be talking to your real estate agent about. And get your priorities better in order because you're going to be married a long time, I hope. And hopefully one of the things that will happen is you get to leave your kids some money in the appreciation on the house that you bought. And it was smart enough to buy it today as opposed to 20 years from now. One of my favorite quotes, two times to plant a tree, today and 20 years ago. So think about getting some real estate. Think about buying as opposed to renting. If you're renting, short-term strategy at best. And it's cool to own real estate because it makes you a better citizen. Excuse me. It changes your reality. The three things that have made me the best that I can be, other than my relationship with God, is my wife, my child, and the fact that I got into real estate. So thank God I met a fellow by the name of Bill Harris, who was my first real estate agent. He sold me my house, and he also got me in the real estate business. Not bad, huh? So tune in next week, and We'll talk about real estate being cool, as far as I know. Brendan Cunningham saying farewell to all.